everybody. Let's praise the Lord in the house tonight. Praise God, praise God. Good to see y'all this evening. Want to welcome to everybody that's watching online this evening, First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Just be ready to praise the Lord and just to worship God with His mighty word as it comes forth tonight. So let's all stand, if you will. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Does anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Yes, sister. Yes. Most definitely will. Definitely. Anyone else on my right side with a spoken prayer? Aye. Anyone on my left side? Anyone in the congregation or back in the box? I don't want to miss any at all. I know there are those that are traveling. Other prayer requests. Yes, we miss.
And let's remember Brother Simeon Sanders, he sits back there. He found out he has pancreatic cancer. So he's been very ill for 3 or 4 weeks. So he's taking chemo now, and then he'll have to have some surgery. So y'all please remember him.
Anyone else? I don't want to miss anyone. I'll just ask, and I know y'all know my family and y'all patience, but I want to tell you how great God is. Thank goodness for Him and the comfort that only He can provide, and I appreciate each and every one. If you have an unspoken prayer request, just show by the raising. Pray for those that aren't saved, those that don't know the Lord, or those have drifted away. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, God, we just love You. So, Lord, we thank You for the opportunity we have and the freedom to come into Your house and to worship You, dear Lord. Lord, we thank You again for Your many blessings, dear Lord, for always being with us through our times of need, dear Lord, for always being available and with us when we call on Your mighty name, dear Lord, in times of loss, in times of sickness, in time of pain, sorrow, and grief. But, Lord, we just love You now, dear Lord, as we always do, dear Lord, and we'd ask that You'll just continue to keep Your Spirit flowing amongst each and every one of us. Lord, I pray for my church. I pray for the brothers and sisters here gathered together, those watching online, those that aren't able to be with us tonight, whether it be for sickness or their travels or whatever situation, dear Lord. But I just ask for You to continue to keep Your hand of protection on each and every one of us. Dear Lord, You've heard those spoken prayer requests and You've seen those hands that were raised. Lord, we are praying for those that they're in grief, that have lost a loved one, those situations going forward. Lord, we know we have those that are in recovery, those that are anticipating test results, medical tests to come back, dear Lord, and we're asking for You just to put Your hand on them. Lord, we just praise You. Dear Lord, we thank You and we worship You. Lord, we thank You for our pastor. Continue to bless him and his family as they go about Your work. And Lord, I ask You to just touch each and every ministry that goes forth from our congregation. Lord, You've blessed us so much. And dear Lord, may we be the vessel that You can use, dear Lord, because it's not us, it's all about You. And, dear Lord, may Your word go forth, dear Lord. May Your light shine in each and every one of us. And, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. While you're standing, I asked Brother Eddie to chime in with me. He's going to turn on the mic and just make you multitask tonight with his bass. I know it's easy for him with the guitar. We're going to do I'll Fly Away, page 333.
Shore, I fly away.
It is His word, His promise, and that we just need to receive His gift. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering and then call on a couple of special singers. I'm behind on my notes. I know we were talking about Vacation Bible School. Don't forget, and I don't have the dates here, so I'm not ready. I'm sorry. Any announcements need to be brought forth? Let me say it right. Nothing we have right this minute. Just keep all of the ministries and prayers I said earlier. Praise God. Brother Jim, would you mind asking the Lord to bless our offering?
Praise the Lord. I got a testimony right quick that I want to share. A few months ago, my sister Pam, y'all know who she is, she has to go every so often and have her lungs checked because she's got COPD real bad. And so she went a couple months ago and they found some spots on her lungs, and so they had to do a CT scan that they did on her. So they did that, and of course it was being prayer made, and when she got up there they couldn't find nothing, and I praise God for that, because you know that was nothing but God right there. There's nothing God can't do. We're the ones who puts him on a limit or tell him what he can or can't do, but there's nothing God can't do. People saying I'd never make it, I'd never see it through. They don't know what keeps me going. Turn the tears into laughter.
Brother Jim, when he asked me to sing, I asked him if he'd mind if I did this song. I've heard him say so many times this was his dad's favorite song, and he's done such a great job himself doing it. But you know, it came to me tonight when I was talking to him. But it's a powerful song, and How Great Thou Art. So bear with me as I try to do this in the memory of your dad.
How great thou art. Son not sparing, he sent him to die. I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take him home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou
thank the Lord for letting us be here tonight and for everything that he's done for us and keeping us away from all the sickness. Amen. There's just, you know, I got to thinking today when we got that other call that somebody else has cancer. Our church has been attacked. It might be other churches too, but I don't know if y'all realize it, but our church has been attacked. We have got so many people in the church that's either battling cancer or just got over battling cancer. I mean, it's just one thing after another. And I think we just need to band together and pray for each other. I think that's what the Lord wants us to do.
This is an old song. How many's got all they need? Got everything you'll ever need. That's what I've been thinking about this week. God let me know I got everything I need. I may not have everything I want, but I got everything I need. I stood on a mountain and gazed all around. So close to heaven where beauty abounds. I lifted my eyes to God so divine. I thank my God that these are all mine. The trees and the flowers, the birds and the bees, the free running waters, God gave them to me. The great mighty oak and the tall slender pine, I thank my God that these are all mine. The sun started sinking, climbed the mountains tall. Then moments of twilight, near darkness did fall. The stars started peeping, the great moon did shine. I thank my God that these are all mine. The trees and the flowers, the birds, and the bees, the free running waters, God gave them to me. The great mighty oak and the tall slender pine, I thank my God that these are all mine. The sun started sinking behind the mountains tall. Then moments of twilight, near darkness did fall. The stars started peeping, the great moon did shine. I thank my God that these are all mine. The trees and the flowers, the birds and the bees, the free running water, God gave them to me. The great mighty oak and the tall slender pine, I thank my God that these are all mine. We got more than we realized, don't we? Amen. With the goodness of God. I remember singing that song is just a little bitty grunt. Our church. First time I heard that song. Sorry, I missed something. First time I heard that song was at a tent revival, sawdust floor, old wooden benches, and I think the evangelist's name was Brother Johnson, and sung that song. And man, I could just picture him standing on that mountain just engulfed in the goodness of God. And Now, that may be one of the reasons I love the mountain so much today, because it just looks like the portrait of God's mighty hand at work, and just seeing all those wonderful things that God has given us breath, given us life, and then has given all of this creation to enjoy and to be blessed until He comes and takes us to a better place. How many knows, as good as this is, we're going to a better place? Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to see you fine folks. Appreciate you so very much. Hope and pray that you're having a good week. Amen. Hope and praying that even the latter part will even be better. Amen. There's no telling what God has in store for us and His people. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'm going to go to the book of 2 Corinthians, the writing of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. How many knows that the Apostle Paul was always about ministering, evangelizing, and teaching? And this is one of his epistles where he was kind of teaching to the church to put their faith and trust in Almighty God. How many knows that'll still preach today? Amen. If we'll put our faith and trust in a never-failing God. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12, verses 7 through 10. Thank you for standing as we read the Holy Word of God tonight. Paul's writing and said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Everybody say it was a gift. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me." Basically, he did not want it, but it was a gift. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful for your holy word. God, I pray tonight, God, that we would understand the truth and the subject matter of this word tonight. Father, I pray that it would sink deep into our spirit, God, that we may engulf it spiritually, Lord, and may it produce growth and edification into our spirit, into our spiritual walk. Father, we do remember those who are sick tonight. Many are suffering, as Sister Penny said. Many are afflicted tonight. Father, we know that you're a mighty big God, able to do all things. And we pray right now, God, that you would promote healing into their bodies, comfort for those who need comfort, strength for those who need strength. Father, I humbly ask tonight that you anoint these lips of clay. God, just use this vessel to speak to our hearts tonight, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask the blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord with a hand clap of praise, and you may be seated. Glory to God. What an honor and a privilege it is to glorify and praise the Lord. Amen. He's given us two hands to put together and glorify Him, and we're going to be able to do that for an eternity. Tonight I want to talk about the sufficiency of God. The sufficiency of God. God in His loving way has tenderly and rather aggressively, I guess, if you want a word, or strongly, imparted that into my spirit this week. And I have really begun to think over the past years, how that God has always come on the scene, how God has always made a way. And we say that so often, God will make a way even when there seemeth no way. And it brings to mind that, Lord, why should I even doubt you? Why should I even worry? Why should I even check the time clock to see if you're on time? Because God is never late, and He is always on time. The sufficiency of God basically is this surmised: the adequacy of the provisions of God that can never be exhausted or run dry. In other words, whatever we have need of, God can and will supply. He will never run out of His mercy. He will never run out of His grace. He will never run out of those things that we need on a daily basis. And I begin to think about, as I ask you the question before I sing tonight, do you have everything that you need? And I'm always thinking about something. You know, we can go to Walmart, and I, you know, like today, We went to Walmart for a specific thing. Penny said, do you want to get a buggy? And I said, no. She said, you don't have anything that you need? I said, no. And we didn't get a buggy. But just walking through Walmart, I picked up two or three things. I didn't need anything. But I left Walmart with about two or three different things. I can use these, you know, so I got that. And wasn't anything big. I could just, you know. And they put those little things up there at the checkout center, counter, you know. And I'm trying my best to lay off the candy. That y'all help me pray that I'm doing pretty good about that. And I'm not eating a lot of candy now. And I'm trying. But they put it right in front of you. But my thought was, you know, I didn't have anything that I needed. And she asked me two things. You don't need anything? I said, no, we don't need a buggy. I found out if you get a buggy, you get too many things. And so, but yet I still left that store with a couple of things that I saw that just caught my eye, and I was able to grab them. I said, well, yeah, I can use those. And I don't ever want my dependency on God to be that way. I don't want to ask God just to give me something just because it's a flash in the pan. Or it's just a luxury rather than a necessity, or it's one because somebody else has got one, or it's just something that, you know what, I could really get by without it. I don't really need it, but it's pretty. It's nice, and that, you know. And I began to think, well, I wouldn't begin to think. I think God just began to lay it on my heart. You know what? I have told you in the Word constantly that I will provide your needs. Amen? Let me tell you what El Shaddai. God is enough. Say that with me tonight. El Shaddai, God is enough. There's a song that says, long as I got King Jesus. Long as I got King Jesus, I don't need anything else. Now, that's not to say we don't need sustenance. That's not to say that we don't need shelter. That's not to say that we don't need water. That's not to say that we don't need clothing on our back or food in the pantry or whatever those things are. Those are necessities. Those are things that God will supply or give us the ability to supply ourselves with those things. But when it gets to a point where we're just kind of thinking of, Lord, what else can you give me? Or what else can you do for me? Or, Lord, today's a good day. What can you make me blessed with today? And Paul began to admonish the church that it's not about those kind of things. God can do it. Got any believers tonight? God can do all things. Amen. He can give us our needs. He can give us, many times, He gives us our wants. But there's a time that we need to think about that if we've got God, God is basically all that we need. I've got tuned in to these videos because there's nothing really on the channels to watch. And it's called camping, or bushcraft or something kind of camping. And it's these guys that go out and test different equipment. And they go out for two or three days in inclement weather and cold and all these different things. They test these different tents and cooking things and stuff like that. And the thing is, they try to get down to just everything that they need just in a backpack. And it's a big backpack, but everything is small. I mean, they start folding out things, and all of a sudden, there's a chair. I'm thinking, my Lord, they come out of their backpack, and they'll fold out something else, and there's a little wood heater. It's a little metal thing, little square box. It's small, but it gets the job done. And the more that I've seen, some of them say, well, you know, they're going to go out and not even going to take a tent. They're not even going to take any food. They're going to just go out for an overnight with nothing more than a tarp and a blanket. And that's basically all they need. And you know what? They are sustained. And I'm thinking, Lord, don't get me in my Christian life where I think that I've got to have a U-Haul trailer to go out for an overnight camp, spiritually speaking. Amen? Dwell on that for just a moment. If they can get by overnight with just the barest of necessities, learning basically to live off of the land, Lord, I want to spiritually be able to live off of your blessings and live off of your relationship. And know that everything that I have need of is provided by you. we think about the Bible and we think about so many instances where God came on the scene and God supplied the need and God supplied the manna, God supplied the quail, God supplied the protection from the fire, God supplied the ability to close the mouths of the lions, and God supplied all of these wonderful things throughout. He supplied, as Jesus was ministering, He supplied the fish and the loaves. You know, Jesus didn't bring those to the meeting that was there, nor did any of His disciples. But as long as Jesus was in the crowd, there never should have been any doubt or any worry that God was not going to provide. So as long as we have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there should never enter into our spiritual mind that God is not able to provide for us. Amen. I thought about the prophet as he was praying, and the prophets of Baal, and they were around the altar, and they were calling on their gods, which were no gods, to come and send fire down from heaven and consume this sacrifice. And Elijah just basically laughed at them and poked fun at them, you know. But then he said, God, show them basically who the real God is. And God sent sufficient fire down. Think about the sufficient fire. It was hot enough to burn the sacrifice. It was hot enough to burn the stones that the altar was built of. It was strong enough and hot enough to lick up the fire that was in the trench that Elijah told him, go ahead and sprinkle it down with water because my God is able to do all things. But it wasn't too much that it didn't scorch the whole earth. Brother, what are you talking about? God knows exactly how much to give. God knows exactly how much to present for your need or for your situation. And that was revealed to me when I would pray and say, Lord, you know, I need you to make a way. And we often use the meal barrel. You know, God made a way for the widow woman, didn't he not? We didn't fill it up. We didn't fill it up. And I'm afraid too many Christians today are too many people who have been blessed by God, and certainly we have. God's given me more than I ever deserved. God's given me more than I really need. Amen. Thank God for it. I don't want to give any of it back. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for it. I'm blessed for it. But really, as long as I got that relationship with God, that's the main thing that I need. That's what I can count on. That's when everything else may fall by the wayside. Everything else that I may have been able to attain in this world may come to naught. In fact, it may get to a point where it's not worth anything. But you know what? God will always remain the same. He's always powerful, never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I thank God, as long as I've got Him, as long as He's got me, and as long as He is in me, God is going to sustain me. He's going to take care of those needs in our life. So the Apostle Paul had been blessed. If you will read the exploits of the Apostle Paul, Bible history tells us he was a tent maker. Now, I don't know how profitable it was to make tents. I know that that was probably a common practice in that time. And I, knowing the Apostle Paul and his abilities and his intellect, I would project to say that he was probably, pretty successful in the making of tents. Probably had a pretty good business. But that was not first and foremost after he was had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he began to minister from town to town. He began to go on these missionary trips. And never did he in the Bible say that he always took a U-Haul trailer. Or three or four camels packed with all the things that he needed. He simply walked by faith. He went to these different towns and he prayed and God supplied his need. If you read the epistles of Paul and the places that he visited, the places that he ministered, God always placed it on some person, some family, some individual, some group to minister to Paul, not only Paul, but Timothy as well and some of the other ministers. God always supplied their necessities. God always supplied their needs, letting us know that God is sufficient and the sufficiency of God is all that we'll ever need. We can count on it. We can rely on it. We don't have to worry about it. So, evidently, according to some writers, Paul had an opportunity to be somewhat boastful of what God had blessed him with. God forbid that should never happen to any Christian. I mean, we're thankful for what God gives us. But if we get to a point where we begin to think we expect it, or we deserve it, or we have earned it, and God blesses us, and then it causes us to maybe be exalted in ourself or in our spirit, God can very quickly take that every bit away from us. Or cause us to be at such a point that we cannot rely on those things, but we must again rely on God. So there's been many thoughts and theories about what the thorn of flesh that Paul is referring to. Some would even say and suggest that, oh, because, you know, when Paul was on the road to Damascus and he was struck down by that great light and he was never able to really see again, at perfect vision because that light affected his eyes. I'm not sure that I agree with that. I'm not going to disagree with that, but I don't think God would do that to him and then send him on the missionary field. It may have dimmed his eyesight a little bit, but I'm kind of thinking maybe that's not the thorn of flesh that he was referring to. Others think that it was, in fact, because of his intellect, his background. You know, he is the one that sat at the feet of Gamaliel and learned. Probably Gamaliel was one of the greatest teachers of theology at that particular time, and Paul was probably one of his best students. And he had all of this talent and intellect and Bible scripture, and was able to talk to Romans, was able to talk to the common man, was able to talk to kings and all of those, and could hold his own with any conversation. And many think that the devil kind of seeped in and began to kind of put it on Paul, said, well, you really are something, boy. And don't you think that the devil won't do that? If he can get you puffed up, then God can't use you real good. Because when we exalt ourselves, God said, I'll put you a base, meaning I'll get you back down to where you need to be. And that's where God can use us. God will use and God will bless and God will anoint humility. Amen. When we know that we're nothing, because that's when he said, when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. Meaning when I'm weak in my flesh, weak in my ability, but strong in the power and strong in the might and strong in the glory of God. God's sufficiency is always adequate for each and every need. So many think that that might have been one of the things that bothered him. I personally think that Paul, being human like the rest of us, had a memory. Mine's not as good as it used to be, but I still got one. I remember things long ago better than I do things that just happened. And if you ain't got there yet, you'll know what I'm talking about one of these days. One of these days you'll go like a V8. That's what Brother Eddie was talking about. I kind of personally think that the Apostle Paul may have had some issues with his past. Well, I have. Haven't you? I don't know. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. But I know God's grace is sufficient. I know his redemption is plenteous. I know he's more forgiving than any human being could ever be. And I'm trusting in his mercy and grace. But I also know my past. And sometimes the devil will drag that old past back up. You see, God has wiped them away and covered them with the blood of Jesus Christ, never anymore to be raised up, because those are under the blood of Christ. But here comes Satan like an old stray dog gets out in the trash can. He drags all that stuff up and tries. How can you stand up there on the pulpit with your past? How can you get up and sing in the choir knowing what you've done in the past? Let me tell you, folks, if that ever happens to you, if Satan comes right there, you rebuke him right then. You should say, Satan, my past is under the blood of Jesus Christ. I am not accountable for those. If you want to talk to anybody, you talk to my attorney. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he died, I live. Because of his blood, I've been forgiven. Because of his grace, I'm on my way to heaven. I ain't got time to listen to you anymore. And when you use the word against Satan, he's going to have to leave you. So I personally think that it may have been Paul's past. Whatever the case may be, it was enough to bug him. We all have things sometimes that bug us, right? There's some kind of things that just kind of get on our nerves. And I've said this again, we'll tell the devil all these things. We'll say, you know what makes me so mad? The devil says, tell me. You know what really upsets me? And the devil says, let me take a note here. And then we feed him all this information. But whatever it was strong enough, it was there enough to cause a thorn in his flesh. Probably not a specific ailment, but more like something that just in his mind, in his spirit, that kind of kept him and bugged him and constantly come against him. But then he says, God speaks to him, basically, and this is the letters of red in my book, my grace is sufficient. My grace is adequate. My grace is more than enough. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, you want to be stronger in me than be weaker in the flesh. Paul, you want to be stronger in my spirit than be weaker in the things of the material world. Lay the world aside and follow me and let my spirit fill you, lead you, and guide you, and I will supply your every need. And all throughout Paul's preaching, God was able to supply his need. Then Paul just goes ahead and takes it a little step further. He said, therefore, if that's the case, if that's the way it is, then I take pleasure in infirmities. Now he's saying, Lord, hurt me. I don't think he's saying that. But he's saying, when I go through these things, these infirmities, God, I'm going to praise you. That's going to give me an opportunity to know how dependent I am on you. And you've already told me that your grace is sufficient, so I know you're going to see me through this situation. You know what? It's powerful when you know ahead of the trial that God is going to already sustain you through the trial. And through, before the sickness ever comes, you know that God is going to be the healer of your body before the sickness ever really takes hold. So you know that God is going to be there for you. So he said, I take pleasure in these infirmities. I take pleasure in the reproaches. You know, let me just go ahead and say, if the world speaks well of you, be careful. Be careful. If they ridicule and put you down, chances are you're on the right track. Because the world don't like Christianity as a whole. And the world does not like to be convicted by the righteousness that's in your life. That's the reason sometimes it's hard to fit in with the people that you used to run with. We love them. We still want to be a part of them. But they're uncomfortable around you. Because your spirit and your love and your the grace and mercy that God has abundantly blessed you with, it makes them uncomfortable. And many times they will put you down because it makes them uncomfortable. So, and Paul said, I'll glory in this. Because that way I know that when I am weak, then am I strong. In necessities, glory in necessities. What's he talking about? Lord, I know that when I'm in need of something, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to place my faith and trust in you and know that you will supply my need. Now, does that always mean that God's going to fill up your cupboard? No, he didn't fill up the meal barrel. But thank God he didn't let it run out either. Every day she went back and had just enough. Amen. I will assure you, if you live by faith, every day you'll have just enough. Amen. Just enough. Glory to God. Just enough grace. Just enough mercy. Just enough to meet the need, the situation. In fact, I'm going to read something in just a little bit to let you know that God already knows about your tomorrow. Here we are worrying about today, but God's already got plans for your tomorrow. And he is going to make a way for that as well. So not only do we take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, even in persecutions. Apostle Paul was threatened. His life was threatened many times. Sometimes, one time he had to escape in a little basket over a wall. Amen. But God provided. Amen. God made a way. In distresses, for whose sake? It wasn't for Paul's sake. wasn't for Paul's sake. It was for Christ's sake. So don't ever say, Lord, why am I suffering? Why am I going through this? It's not for your sake. It's not for my sake. It's for Christ's sake. So that God, amen, can bless you so others can see that God is going to meet your necessities. Amen? Because God's sufficiency is greater than our sufficiency. Have you ever been asking somebody to dip you something? You say, ooh, that's enough. That's enough. You know, God knows exactly how much to dip. And on by the other side of that, Lord, I don't think that's going to be enough. God knows the sufficiency. And sometimes we want that little extra. Amen. But the perfect lesson of that is the manna from heaven. They could only take just enough for that day. What happened if they took enough for the next day, unless except for the Sabbath? It spoiled, got worms in it. It wasn't no good. Amen. Why was that? Could God not made manna that would last all week? Sure he could. But he wanted them to be he wanted them to be faithful on his sufficiency every single day. God, I'm trusting you today. And Lord, by faith, I'm trusting you tomorrow. And Lord, even by faith, I'm trusting you next week. Amen. Because I know the sufficiency of God is greater than anything that I do. When I am weak, then am I strong. And then 2 Corinthians 3 and 5, probably every one of you could maybe quote it, but it also tells us that not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our provision is of God. The adequacy of the provisions of God that can never be exhausted or run dry. El Shaddai, God is enough. Let me read this to you. I ran across this and it blessed me, and I hope it'll maybe bless you as well. It says, God's provision for you today is sufficient to the situation you God's provision for you today is sufficient to sustain you for all that you will experience. God is fully aware of everything you will experience today. I've often said, God's not surprised. God, did you see that? Sure he did. God, do you know what I went through? Yes, he does. God will provide for your needs for tomorrow. At exactly the right moment, not a moment early and not a moment late. Whew, we fret sometimes, don't we? But it'll be at the exact right time. Not a moment late. You have nothing to worry about in the sufficiency of God. You hear me say this all the time. God is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly, or exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. That's how big God is. That's how great God is. And I'll assure you one other thing, like that little simple song that I sung tonight. If you'll be thankful for the little things that God has already given us, he'll be more apt to give you the bigger things that you need if you just trust him on a daily basis. May God bless you. I love you, each and every one. I appreciate you. Appreciate you. Your faithfulness, and I appreciate your walk with the Lord. If you'd stand tonight, we're going to close with a prayer, but we're going to give you an opportunity. If you have a need, please bring it forward tonight while the church is here and the elders are here. We'll pray one for another. We'll pray for your situations or whatever. All right, let's keep our brothers and sisters in prayer. And Brother Jim, we might, again, I know that it's on the Facebook and it's on the church text blast and all, but we might, again, give the arrangements when you come, if you would, tonight. Again, remind us of the time and the date and all of that for the viewing of your father and for the going home celebration. Heaven truly gained a wonderful, wonderful saint of God, and he will be missed greatly. So, Brother Jim, would you come and maybe give us, those arrangements and dismiss us with a word of prayer.
What a powerful word. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. And again, as I said earlier, God is sufficient in all that we need. And that is a perfect message that I think good percentage of my siblings and family need to hear right now. Because my dad was a very active man, and he was always, even though he was 95, his wisdom goes far beyond that. And we're all going to share. But I thank y'all for your prayers, for this church always standing and supporting me and my family, as you always have. Dad always loved coming here. With Dad's background, he always said, after coming here, he said, "Well, you know, son, I went to a Babacostal church." He said, "We could still praise the Lord and worship Him and believe in His Spirit." So Dad felt at home, and y'all always made him feel wonderful. But anyway, as y'all know, he's passed, and tomorrow evening from 5 to 8, we'll have visitation, and it's at the West Cobb Funeral Home. That's the best word for it. I couldn't remember. There's other names in there. But it's over on Mulkey Road off Austell Road. It's right there in that little corridor right there. Macklin, excuse me. Mulkey, yeah, Macklin, thank you. And also the service will be there at 2 o'clock Friday afternoon at the same place, and then we'll go to the cemetery from there. So it's we're using that location. They live in Smyrna. Actually, it's Smyrna Austell mailing address, not far from the Hurt Road, Hicks Road area is where their home is. We moved there in the 60, early 60, I think it was. And but I thank you very much. And thank you for all your prayers. We do need it. And to continue, my little sister that was living there and had moved in to take care of Dad and Mom, last night was the first time she was in an empty house. She's made her, because her kids have been spent staying there with her, and we've all been in and out the hotel. And she made them go home. She told me today we had to go make some other arrangements. And she said she's okay. But if I'd keep, if y'all, her name's Laurie Ann. So if y'all would keep her in your prayers. Praise God. All right. Any other prayers, needs? Don't let, I'm not the only one here. God has got, He's plenteous for everybody. And He can touch of all our needs. And we know, as we mentioned earlier, those that are going through treatments, those that have procedures, those that are traveling. I know as Brother Thomas and Miss Susan, we miss her tonight. And I think Miss Tabitha and them are traveling. Just keep them in our prayers. Brother Greg, we always want to lift him up. And all the other prayer requests that has gone forth. And for those saints that aren't able to be with us for whatever reason, and I know their desire is here. So if all hearts and minds clear, we're going to dismiss with this prayer. And also I want to invite you back for Sunday school Sunday morning. Let's get ready. Get ready for Vacation Bible School. It's a beautiful time. One other special prayer request. I meant to say this earlier. We have seniors represented here. There's graduation starting tonight. I think I heard saw where Sister Anita's grandson is graduating tonight. All the way through this next week, there'll be so much activity and so many kids just rejoicing. Let's ask God to keep a hand of protection on them as they feel like they're free, and let them know that they need God too. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we just love you. We praise your holy name, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, for your mercy and your grace, and dear Lord, for that peace that only you can provide, and Lord, for the comforter you've given us through the Holy Ghost, dear Lord. I thank you for each and everyone here tonight. The Lord bless each and every household, whether it be in this class with the teens or in the young people in their Bible study. But the Lord, for all others, whether they're watching online or present, that we just continue to lift them up. Dear Lord, may your word go forth. May the lost be saved, dear Lord. And we just give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Praise the Lord.